Good evening, and welcome back to the Know Your Role Player podcast. I'm your host, Jay, the number 215 forever. Follow your boy on IG, and on my IG page is the podcast page. All right, so once you go to that page, you go to anchor.fm/knowyourroleplayer. You just click the link, and it'll give you every episode I ever did, the latest episodes, and it'll take you to whatever app you have, right? So whether you have Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Radio Public, iHeartRadio, or more, you will get notifications like when today's episode is ready. All right, guys, welcome back. Today is Monday, January 26th. Happy Monday. Still Black History Month for all that's celebrating. And just a reminder that Black History is American history. All right, guys, we're going to have a good show today. So I just want to talk about a couple of things on the weekend that I peeped, that I saw. And the theory for today, or the title of today's episode, would be Two Things Can Be True, right? And I just want to talk about a couple of things that I just start out. Let me start off with the Golden State Warriors. So the Golden State Warriors lost to the Denver Nuggets 119-103. And that score is not a good indication of what happened this game. So it's really weird because in the first half, they did whatever they wanted to. Klay Thompson had a breakout performance, finished with about 20 points at halftime. I think he had 23 points at halftime, and he finished the second half with 0 points. And they got good production from a lot of players. Steph Curry did not have it. He was 1-10 from the three-point line, still finished with 20 points, but only 4 assists. Wiggins was okay, 14-4-4. I can always, when I look at Wiggins, I always look at rebounds. If he has a high rebound game, it kind of dictates their game. I look at the same thing with the Warriors, right? Kuminga, 19-6-3. Draymond Green, 7-5-4. So real quick on Draymond. So the first quarter was pretty cool because Draymond was playing some really good defense on him, and the Warriors kind of got out to a good lead. Steph Curry got in foul trouble early, and Klay just got cooking. And when I go back to reference the Two Things Can Be True, it's funny because the Warriors did everything they wanted to in the first half. They got out. They got easy shots. They had a ton of passing. They got stops on defense. They were always in transition. They looked phenomenal. Dog, they lost this game by 15 points, right? And so the thing was, it's, again, the same story for the Warriors. No inside interior presence. Again, you cannot play Draymond Green. How many minutes did he play? 27 minutes. But he was your primary center for the majority of the game. You really didn't go to Kevin Looney more than 10 minutes, and you don't have a big you can trust. Obviously, they don't trust the young guy, Jackson, but you don't have a big you can trust. So what does Jokic do? He absolutely annihilates him, 16 rebounds, 16 assists, and 32 points. Then Jamal Murray in the second half picked it up. He finishes with 27-4-3, and Aaron Gordon dominated. But again, I go back to a major factor with the Warriors. Some, as good as they are, and I do believe they're improving, it's just some things that won't change about them, and their rebounding and stopping teams on the interior is one of the biggest issues, right? You look at the rebounds, the Nuggets had 45, Golden State at 42. So the rebounds, actually, I'm wrong about that. The rebounds wasn't a big difference. But again, not stopping Jokic in the paint, scoring outside of Steph Curry. Once Klay Thompson got cold, the scoring kind of cooled off again, even though a lot of other role players played good. It's the same thing. So overall, you know, looking at the Warriors and looking at their game, I look at the Warriors' improvement. They are a better team and they are a playoff team. But again, they can't get defensive stops. And the two things can be true are, while they are good, they still can't beat certain teams, and they can't mess with Denver. All right, let's keep going. Whew. All right, so the Lakers is a twofold thing. So two things can be true with the Lakers. One, I still don't think the Suns are good. And two, Darvin Ham is not the villain, right? So I hear a lot of Lakers fans, because I just try to listen to all sports fan bases of all NBA teams and hear what they got to say. And Lakers fans absolutely cook Darvin Ham. Now, I'm going to be honest with y'all. I think there's certain players like Austin Reeves, Anthony Davis. I think they're over him, but I don't think this is a good roster, right? And firing this coach doesn't make this a championship team. It doesn't. They're not built well. Outside of LeBron and Anthony Davis, the rest of this roster is weak. It's absolutely weak. The bench stinks. Austin Reeves, as good as he is offensively, he is absolutely food on defense. Dudes look at Austin Reeves the way they look at the DoorDash once it gets to their house, all right? It's dinner. It's food. And it's being honest. But, you know, when people get on Darvin Ham, I get it. The body language drives people crazy, the hands in his pockets. But again, there's not much he can do with this roster. LeBron's playing out of his mind. And we're going to get to Anthony Davis in the seventh game. But again, Rob Pelinka is the guy that you're actually upset about. So I want to start with the first problem in the offseason that happened with Rob Pelinka. And not the first, but I want to start with one of my biggest gripes. When you have a team like the Los Angeles Lakers, every year you should be competing for a championship, and there should be no means to an end. As far as champions, as far as cap space, as far as moves, as far as the sense of urgency, and the star players that you have, and the market that you play in, you should all be all money in. And for some reason, I don't feel like that with the Lakers. I feel like they'd be like, yo, we got a good team, but we're going to wait till the offseason to be great. They didn't make changes, and they're kind of stuck with the same thing. But again, I go back to Rob Pelinka because the first issue that he had is in the draft, right? And so the Lakers drafted Jalen Hood. I'm butchering his name. Schifino, right? Have you heard that, guys? Has he played much? Now, again, it's not about him, but I want to talk to y'all all the picks that run around that pick. So let's look at 14 through 22, right? Now, they could move up if they wanted to, but there were guys available. 13, Grady Dick to the Raptors. 14, Jordan Hawkins to the Pacers. Grady Dick's a good shooter. Jordan Hawkins is a good shooter. 16, Keontae Jordan. Now, let's just go with, hey, you could move up and you could only deal with the hands you're dealt and you could only stay with your head. Cool. The Heat drafted Jamie Jaquez Jr. Remember the rookie, the special rookie? He was drafted after the Lakers pick. I'm not done. Brandon Pozinski, all right? The young guard that rebounds and does all the things for Golden State. He was drafted 19th. I'm not done. Cam Whitmore was drafted 20th. And he is probably looking right now as one of the 10 best players in this draft, right? So the failures by the organization started right here. You got a 17th pick in the draft. Now, 17th isn't great, but you should be able to find some player that can contribute. Warriors, Rockets, and the Heat all have guys that have contributed minutes on teams that are trying to make the playoffs. So again, I don't understand Rob Pelinka and the excuses. Then at the All-Star break, at the trade deadline, you don't make no moves. You kind of just want to let this roster play itself out. Listen, once you had the injury to James Vanderbilt, this team was not last year's team. You know, that was built on defensive rebounding. Yes, they are going to have moments this season where they rebound, where they defend, and they really tighten up, and you can squeak out wins with LeBron James and Anthony Davis. But the others aren't good. The others are not good. They're not getting it done, and there's just no other way to get around it. So, like I said, I get that it's easy to punch on Rob Pelinka, but this roster is not good. And don't worry, y'all. I'm going to get to the game in a second. But let's just look at this roster, right, real quick. Let's just have a heart-to-heart, me and y'all, about the Lakers roster. All right. So, again, we're not going to talk about Anthony Davis and LeBron James right now because we know what we're getting for them. Rui Hachimura, are you happy with what he's doing? He's been okay. He's been up and down. Like I said, what Austin Reeves gives you on offense, he is returning on defense. Mans is food. I cannot explain that enough, man. And, again, in the playoffs, Denver was kind of going at him a little bit, but it wasn't to this level. It wasn't at all. All right, Spencer Dinwiddie stinks. All right, whatever best days Spencer Dinwiddie had, they're behind him. All right, and this is a cooked player. I don't care if he has a couple of games where he plays well. Again, maybe in another destination, but to my knowledge and watching him, his best days are behind him, and he's on the back burner. He ain't making no moves. All right, Torian Prince was a guy that was really solid last year. He's been okay this year. Christie doesn't play. You know, you really can't play. And Jackson Hayes stinks. He shouldn't be on his roster. He shouldn't have been starting. I don't know what's up with Christian Wood. He's an underachieving player. So your big depth is bad, and you don't have shooting. Again, when you have LeBron James and Anthony Davis, the next important thing you have is lights-out shooting. They don't have it. D'Angelo Russell has been a very good shooter, and he's probably been the third-best player for the majority of the Lakers season, going back and forth with him and Austin Reeves. But who's the best shooter off the bench that's 40% shooter that nobody can stop? There isn't one. Again, so it's a bad roster construction. So when you go back to Darvin Ham and the Lakers, they're going to get what they're going to get. And again, time and time again, Anthony Davis played okay. To me, he didn't play good because 14 and 22 is not good enough when you're playing the Suns. He has to impose his will. Every game that LeBron James is the best player on the court for the Lakers is not good for the Lakers. Again, I get that LeBron is the greatest, right, by some. But if he's having 27, 12, and 7, Davis got to give me more than 22. All right, but I don't even care about what Davis did on offensively. I want to talk about his defense. Now, Davis, to me, is still in the running for Defensive Player of the Year. I do not know what happened yesterday. I watched the game twice. I watched the highlights this morning. I looked at it again right before the podcast. It was a crime scene out there, right? So after the game, there was yellow tape, right? And people were going on, yo, why is this yellow tape? Yusuf Nurkić was giving Anthony Davis the business. Every play that he got the ball and the Lakers were helping up front, he put his shoulder in his chest and he was finishing at the rim. And this was time and time again. Dog, my man finished with 22. And, yo, he cannot have the same numbers as Davis, right? Again, if you look at the Lakers and what they give or take, they just let role players go off and shooting. You let Grayson Allen hit six threes, and you let Royce O'Neal get six threes. Yo, dog, that's not good. You let the others go off, and then, you know, Durant and Booker, they played okay, but they just fed off of the other guys. And you got enough five, you had a five-man rotation. The bench stinks. They have nobody off the bench outside of Bobo, who did play well. They got no production off anybody off the bench. He's playing the starters 38 minutes, unsustainable. So I go back to two things can be true. The Suns are not a good basketball team. Even with Bradley Beal, they can only outscore you. They're not defending. They don't play good defense. And I don't think they're a real championship threat. Again, I can be wrong, but they're probably at best the sixth best team in the West. And again, that's just matchup based. I do not buy Phoenix. On the other side, the Lakers, like I said, I don't feel no way about Darvin Ham. Even if you get rid of him, you don't win a championship with this roster. Again, after the Lakers won the championship and y'all shipped off Kyle Kuzma and KCP and Talen Horton-Tucker, but that wasn't that big of a deal, you never replaced those guys. You never replaced the defender and the three-point shooter that KCP was. Whatever y'all think of Kuzma, he was a contributor on a championship team, and you never replaced his talent. Who's the wing that kind of plays like Kuzma that replaces him? Who's the lights-out shooting? Where is the talent outside of LeBron and Anthony Davis? But again, hashtag know your role player. As much as I want to get on that, I'm going back to Anthony Davis. If Yusuf Nurkić and Anthony Davis is giving out the same impact and putting out the same numbers, the Lakers are food. It doesn't matter what they do. Because your best player and their fifth best player can't have the matching production. Yo, they let Royce O'Neal, and Grayson Allen just bombs away, bro. I don't know what the defensive plan was. It stunk, man. And again, it's one game. We have to go by game evaluation, but I hated everything I saw from the Lakers. Now, I'm going to say this. Usually, more times than not, when Anthony Davis has a shaky game and the Lakers have a shaky game, he comes out guns a-blazing firing on all cylinders. So I 100% Anthony Davis expect a dominating performance because that was trash. That was trash, and this team is falling by the wayside, and they're going to start losing hope soon, right? We're getting to the home stretch. We don't have a lot of games left, so every one of these wins and losses matters, all right? All right, let's keep it going, y'all. So next, let's talk about the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Rockets. And the thing about the Thunder, which two things can be true. One, I still love this Rockets team. So outside of Jalen Green, who's been up and down, and I don't feel no way about Jalen Green. I'm not huge on him, but I do believe in his talent. But I do think it's going to take a couple years for him to figure it out. And not that they're in win now mode, but they're trying to compete now mode, right? So with the Thunder, and the two things can be true, they're not a championship team yet, but they're getting there. And yesterday was probably one of the best games as a team they had. They fired on all cylinders. Lewis Dort hit four threes, finished with 16 points. Chet Holmgren hit five threes. Finishes with 29, 7, and 8. Jalen Williams, 22. And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 36, 7 assists and 5 rebounds. So if you get a chance to watch this game, please do, because this is one of the best games I saw by them all season, where just every player and hashtag every role player, Lewis Dort, played phenomenal. Again, I'm not big on Josh Giddey. He played okay, got some rebounds. Stinks got 2 points. I'm really looking forward when Gordon Hayward gets more healthy so he can start replacing Josh Giddey minutes. And I'm looking forward to OKC in the playoffs this season. You know, they don't have any expectations to me because they never made the playoffs. And they're, to me, they're like a year ahead of schedule. And again, I think the most important thing is to find out who your second option is on your championship team. I do like Jalen Williams, and I'm not going to put a limit on him. But I do think you need another star to really compete for a championship, because you got one superstar in SGA. So you have to ask yourself, what's the best complementing piece for him? If you say you got your starting center and you got your role player wing at Luel's Dort. So you have to ask yourself, is the power forward the swing position that can take the championship team, to take their young team to a championship-level team? So again, it's about how they do in the playoffs. But again, back to this game, they fired on all cylinders, man. They gave the Rockets, they did whatever they want to the Rockets. And even though some guys played well in the Rockets, I got to give a big shout-out to Jabari Smith, who's been rebounding like a madman. Last night, 17 rebounds, 20 points. It's kind of funny, right? Because to me, the best efficient players on the Rockets are Sengun and Josh Smith. And then the best role players, aside from Tyreek Eason being out, were Cam Whitmore and the Thompson, one of the Thompson twins, right? And so I really like this team, but I kind of feel like how they play and how they should play has to change. Where even though, like, again, Jabari Smith and Sengun are really good, but they're not focal parts of the offense. There's too many times where Jalen Green gets to chucking, and they don't really establish, Josh Smith and Sengun. Sengun sometimes has games where they do, but sometimes they just don't look for him in the post. So I would just look for more offensive consistency. And in defense, defensively, you can't give up 123 points and win a game, right? You can't do that. So you need the Rockets to kind of improve. Again, I know there's some injuries that they're dealing with. To me, they still had a phenomenal season, and their expectations are more for next year. But again, for this season, they got to get better defensively. And you want to just continue to see growth in Jalen Green. But I'm not as bad as on the Rockets, because I thought they performed way above expectation this year. A couple more teams, and then we'll talk about tonight. Hornets, Clippers. A small review of this game. Got to give credit where credit is due again. Again, early in the season, we were killing DeAndre Ayton. He's played much better. He really did dominate this game with 19 rebounds and 26 points. And when he wants to, he can be great. But the thing is, it's when his mind and his body are all aligned to be great. There's too many times of moodiness and inconsistent effort in both places he's been at. And so he's got to be the guy that carries him. You know, I'm also looking for Scoot Henderson to get healthy, because I would really like to see him play. Horrible game for Anthony Simons, man. 10 points, 0 for 8 from the 3-point line, and 4 for 21. So I'm looking at him to bounce back the next game. I like this other Murray brother. I want to make sure I pronounce his name right. Chris Murray. I don't want to call him Keegan. I like him. He was also horrible tonight. He 0 for 4, did have 9 rebounds and 4 assists. But the Portland stinks. Charlotte, I need LaMelo Ball and Brandon Ingram to play together for 25 games. I just want to see what that looks like. Once I see what that looks like, I think they're going to move on from Miles Bridges, because I think too many other teams – I don't think he wants to be there. I think he wants to be on another team, and too many teams can help him, right? I had to take a pause real quick, because – the Spurs might be the most frustrating team in the league, right? I never saw a guy so talented. He is the best prospect since LeBron James. I'm gonna stand by that. I know there's a lot of guys better than Zion. Embiid coming out of college wasn't this high of a prospect. He has a higher ceiling than Embiid if he can stay healthy. He is the best prospect since LeBron James. I'm gonna stick with that, right? He's an alien on the court. Yo, every game he does things that. Like, the normal for him now is 20 points, 10 rebounds, 3 blocks, and 2 steals. That's the normal. And again, he still doesn't do things well. His jump shot is okay at certain times. I still think for too many times he looks to shoot instead of dominate. But I got to give him credit. He's in just standard 3-point line like he did earlier in the season. Right? He's doing a better job as pick and roll, flowing towards the middle. He had some crazy passes last night where he was pick and roll, diving towards the rim, and did a behind-the-back pass to somebody who just straight flubbered a layup, right? And again, when I say two things can be true about the Spurs, as talented as he is, yo, roster construction. They have to put a legitimate point guard next to him, and they got to put some players that can play. I don't know what is going on between Keldon Johnson. He played 4 minutes. I don't know if he got hurt, but it's clear that Greg Popovich no longer believes in him, so hopefully he can go to another team, because I'm going to keep saying this. I think Keldon Johnson is a very talented player. Listen, the Spurs know a lot, so if they don't see something, I trust them. But I believe in Keldon Johnson, all right? Outside of him, Trey Jones has been playing really solid, but again, he's more of a backup point guard. He's played good. They got to get more production around the others, right? Devin Hassel played good. 27 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists. You think he can be a guy that can move forward with the Spurs and grow with this team. But the others are not good, and they need to be good, all right? So to me, even though the Spurs don't have a timeline, it is important for them to be a better team. Again, when you got a guy this good, you can accelerate your timeline. You know, you look at OKC. You can accelerate your timeline. And again, let's get that second guy. Let's get that third guy. I would like the Spurs to kind of, again, I know they're not going to rush to the Spurs, but I would like them to make some move to say, okay, we were trash this season. We have Victor Wembanyama. Let's actually put a competitive basketball team in and let's grow. Because he's going to continue to get better as long as he stays healthy. He's absolutely stud, man. Not too much on the Clippers and Rockets. It's kind of interesting. I watched this game. I was a little disappointed. De'Aaron Fox is really finding his groove. He did whatever he wanted. He dominated in all facets of the game. Finishes with 33 points. Kind of weird that his three-point shot has been kind of failing him. 7 assists, 6 rebounds. Absolutely dominated the floor. Sabonis played really well, too. 15 rebounds, 12 assists, and 17 points. So when we go to two things can be true to both of these teams, the first thing is what Harden's kind of been falling back again. He played okay. Again, 4 for 13 is not cutting it for an MVP player. All right. And again, he's not that player, but he has to be better. And in games where Paul George doesn't play like he did tonight, and Paul George only misses his fourth game this season, you need other guys to step up. Kawhi Leonard was not great. He wasn't moving great. I thought his like running and his gait was kind of like, was he favoring a knee? Was it just kind of a bad game? Before the game, the head coach of the Sacramento Kings just said, yo, we're going to double him because he always kills them. And they did a really good job of defending him. And Kawhi passing out of double teams isn't great. Again, their spacing wasn't great last night, and I expect him to be better. Westbrook is a Jekyll and Hyde player coming off the bench. Some days he can be phenomenal with his rebounding and his passing, and some days he wasn't good yesterday. So he wasn't good, Kawhi wasn't good, and James Harden was just okay. That's just not going to be good enough to beat the Kings. And so for the two things that can be true for the Kings, their offense did enough what they needed to do and their stars were stars, but their defense is horrific. They gave up a ton of three-point shooting. Norman Powell, 5 threes. Well, actually, he didn't give up a ton of three-point shooting, but they have the worst three-point shooting defense in the NBA. And I take that back what I said. They actually played solid from the three-point line, but their defense still isn't good to me. They did have a good performance last night, but they got to continue to score defensively, all right? In the last game for the Sixers and I'm Magic and Hawks, listen, without Paolo Banchero, even without Trae Young, the Hawks are going to do whatever they want. Wendell Carter Jr. played really solid, getting a double-double. The unfortunate thing from this game was Jonathan Isaac, man. So, man, I said before that Jonathan Isaac is probably the most special defensive player that you never heard of, right? But he cannot stay healthy. He kind of got hurt last night driving to the rim. The only good thing that it was a contact injury and not a non-contact injury. Currently now there's no update on him, but I'm going to say no news is good news. If there is, I'll post it on my Instagram page. But just pray for Jonathan Isaac, man. Again, one of my favorite defensive players, but health does not seem to be on his side. And as far as the Sixers, every time people nitpicked about Joel Embiid, every time people talked about Joel Embiid, I always smile. And again, I talk about him too because nobody is above being talked about. But when you want to ask people, why was he the MVP? Again, before he got hurt, he was the best player in the NBA and he improved after already winning the MVP. I want to start there. But again, they stink without him, all right? Garbage truck juice. Now, they're not a garbage truck juice team, but again, there's just too many nights where if they play certain teams, they ain't got no chance. I'm going to be honest with y'all. If Giannis is playing a team that he knows he doesn't really think he can lose to, he's going to start hunting assists and hunting triple-doubles. So listen, any 500 team or team that he is well favored to win, I just want y'all to pay attention to how he plays. He's going to look to pass. He'll look to score a little bit. But again, he still had 30 and 12 and 9, almost hit the triple-double. But he looks to get that triple-double versus teams he know it can beat. Damian Lillard played much better. He was aggressive shooting, 4 for 8 from the three-point line, 24 points. So as far as the Sixers, a couple of things. Tobias Harris is the most infuriating player on this team, and you cannot play him and Kelly Oubre together. So Kelly Oubre is solid, but he's not shooting well. And I have more confidence that Kelly Oubre is going to play better than Tobias Harris. Now, Tobias Harris did rebound 8 times, but again, my man has 0 assists. Maxey's okay. He does what he can. He got to be better. Buddy Hield's passing can be Jekyll or Hyde sometimes, but the other thing is Paul Reed is a backup center. And the thing is, when you play a backup, they can be great in the short spurts. But when you play Paul Reed extended 25-plus, 30-plus minutes, it's tough. He gets in foul trouble. He does do some good rebounding and finishing at the rim. But to me, with Paul Reed, you got to find a better point guard that can look for him. And again, Maxey's going to look to score more than he looks to pass. And the only time he's really passing is when it's to Embiid and kind of got to have that two-man game going. So as far as I look for Maxey, I just want to look to continue to make good decisions with the basketball. Guys are getting healthy. De'Anthony Melton came back. He hit 4 threes. Kyle Lowry is here. He's been okay. But again, until Embiid comes back, the ship is sinking, but it will not sink all the way. All right. So, let's get to tonight's games. I want to talk about a couple news and notes, and let's get y'all out of here. All right. So tonight we got a pretty short slate on the NBA. Raptors and Pacers. The Pacers are home. They're favored. I got the Pacers winning at home tonight. Knicks and Pistons. So there's two ways to look at this game. So the Pistons low-key match up good against the Knicks, but the Knicks should be bombing away. I expect the Knicks to hit over 23-pointers. I'm expecting big games from Bogdan Bogdanovic. I love Jalen Brunson to be passing and facilitating in this game. As far as the Pistons, you just want their young guys to play well and compete. Again, they're going to have matchups where they can beat some of these teams, but that's not going to be tonight. Brooklyn and the Nets. These teams are both extra mid without their, the Grizzlies don't have their star players. Grizzlies are home. I'm going to take Memphis to win. I'm going to take Memphis to win at home. And Heat and Kings, I do not believe, yes, it is true, Tyler Hero is ruled out. So I am going to go with the Sacramento Kings. And Jimmy Butler got suspended. So over the weekend, last thing, real quick news and notes, there was a crazy scuffle last week, a bunch of suspensions going on. 5 players in total got suspended. Jimmy Butler is suspended 5 games without pay. Without pay, that's tough. Pelicans forward Najee Marshall is each suspended 1 game. Butler was suspended 1 game. I don't know. It was kind of weird. Miami Heat forward Nikola Jovic also was suspended 1 game. And Thomas Bryant was suspended 3 games for leaving the bench during an on-court altercation with him and Jose Alvarado. Jose Alvarado was a role player who kind of nitpicks and tries to get under your skin by playing hard and being aggressive on defense. And that's it. So, real quick, news and notes. Trae Young, unfortunately, is going to be out for 4 weeks to have surgery on his finger. The Hawks have lost all-star guard point Trae Young with a torn ligament in his left pinky finger. 4 weeks. Again, there's going to be some major changes coming in Atlanta. This kind of puts the nail in the coffin. Again, you just hope that you can find guys in this team that you think you can move forward with. I still like their coach. I still like this organization. But there got to be changes that got to be made for this team. Chris Paul practices. No, Chris Paul to return on Tuesday versus the Wizards. So if there's ever a game that Chris Paul to come back and play well and dominate, it is Tuesday versus the Wizards. Lakers, vent at refs and inconsistent after the game. The Lakers haven't been getting a lot of foul calls, and it's kind of weird. LeBron James does get fouled a lot. I got to be honest with y'all. Anthony Davis, the last thing I'll say about him and the Lakers, again, I don't want to go back to old points. He has to be better. You can't let Jusuf Nurkić physically dominate you. You can't. I don't know, man. He is a superstar talent, but he's not a superstar player, right? He's not a guy that you can depend on to be. He can't be your best player in a championship. He is the best number two in the league, and at nights he can be the best player in the league, but he can't be your best player day in and day out. And again, that frustration in the Lakers locker room is going to boil over, and something's going to happen soon, man. Some move has to be made, and it's kind of like, you know, the definition of insanity. And that's pretty much it for today. We're going to come back Wednesday. I'm going to talk about the draft on Wednesday. So I'll talk a little bit about all the news and notes coming forward in Wednesday's games. But I do want to get into maybe like a top 10 mock draft. I think that'll be fun. All right. As always, please like, share, and subscribe. Tell one friend to tell another friend to tell another friend about the Know Your Role Player podcast. Hashtag KNOWYAROLEPLAYER. I talk to y'all soon. Y'all be good and be safe. Peace.